Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
For that, let's take our Bibles, go to the book of Philippians with me tonight. Philippians chapter number 3, and I'll give you a thought out of here. Philippians chapter number 3, and we'll kindly pick up where I left off last Sunday night, and I really didn't preach much last Sunday night. Just talked to you a minute. Of course, if you was here, you understand all that, man. It got good, amen. But I want to pick up where I left off at and talk to you a little bit more on this thought tonight. Philippians chapter number 3, if you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word, and we'll read a couple verses. The Bible said this, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And if you underline in your Bible, I'd invite you to underline that. This one thing I do. C.H. Spurgeon said this, I'd rather say this one thing I do than these 40 things I dabble with. You know, a lot of people today, that's what they do. They dabble with a lot of things, but they never do one thing well. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, we need to do that. Can I get an amen? We need to forget it. I'm talking about every bit of it. The past that's good and the past that's bad. Amen. Our accomplishments. If all you ever do is sit around and talk about what you used to do for God, you're a has-been. He said, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here's our text verse tonight. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to preach on this thought for just a little while tonight. Going for the gold. Going for the gold. Father, I love you. I thank you for being good to me. I thank you, God, for mercy and grace. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. God, help us to forget the past and help us to reach forth to the things that are in front of us, God. Lord, I pray that if there's any here lost, that you'd save them tonight. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Again, I want to talk to you just a little while on going for the gold. Can I ask you a question tonight? If you know what this is, raise your hand and let me know. Do you know what a mulligan is? Does anybody know what a mulligan is tonight? All right, here's what a mulligan is. I think that some rules, Brother Kevin, you're supposed to get one every 9 or one every 18. My dad plays one a hole. But anyway, a mulligan is this. When you're playing golf and you hit a bad shot, Brother Matt, we've been there before, hadn't we? You hit a bad shot, you can one every 9. You lay the rules out whenever you start. But Brother Josh, you can get that mulligan and it's simply this, it is a do-over. In other words, that first shot that you hit that's out of the fairway, and that second shot, and that eighth shot or whatever, you can take that ball and it's like you're erasing everything and starting over again for that hole. You know what? If we could ask the question tonight, how many would like a mulligan on some things in your life? I'm sure that every one of us would raise our hand. And I would like to do some things over. I would like to go back and redo some things. Well, what did Paul say to us tonight? Here's what he said. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Can I say something to you? Tomorrow is Monday. Did y'all know that? Tomorrow is Monday. And you know what Monday is? Monday is the beginning of what we know as a work week. In other words, we're beginning our week. Oh, I know Sunday's the first day of the week, but stay with me. We consider Monday that first day. The weekend's over, and guess what? We're starting our week again. Can I just simply say it this way? Tomorrow, you have a chance to take a mulligan. Tomorrow you have a chance to start all over again. When you wake up in the morning, you have a decision to make. You can forget those things which are behind. You can forget your past failures, your past mistakes, your past mess ups. You can forget your past accomplishments. Somebody say amen right there. And say, today is the first day of the rest of my life, and with the help of God, I'm going for the gold today. I'm going for the gold today. I thought about this. If there was one thing you could do over in your life, what would it be? Do you have any regrets of your performances for Christ? Could you be any closer to the Lord than you are now? If you were faced the Lord at the end of this week, would you be able to stand before Him saying, I have done all this week? You see, so many times when we talk about giving everything and we talk about doing something over, a lot of times in our mind, we go back to past sins. But hear me and hear me well, we should go back in our mind, not just to a past sin, but a past time when we could have done more for God than what we are doing now. You have to make a decision today. That decision is this. Will things remain the same in my life, or will I allow God to change me for His glory and go for the gold? Matter of fact, Joshua said it this way. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Choose you this day. He's saying this, you've got to make a decision, and you will make a decision in the morning. You'll either live for yourself or you'll live for God, one of the two. I read this, it says, and I'm sure you've heard this, if we keep doing the same things in the same way, we will keep getting the same result. I'm just tired of the way my life is going. Quit doing things the same way. You say, I'm tired of the way my spiritual life is going. I'm tired of not being as close to God as I once was. Quit doing things the same way. There comes a time, boy, we hate this word, but there comes a time when there must be a change that takes place. Now, I want to preach on this thought, going for the gold, man. Going for the gold. Going, giving it all, putting everything out on the line. You said, well, preacher, if I knew when Jesus was coming, when I got close to that moment, preacher, I would give everything. The truth of the matter is this, we don't know when He's coming. So what we better do is while we are here, while we have breath to breathe, while we are able to do it, we have health, we have strength, we better go for the gold. Going for the gold. Going for the gold. We should give everything. Is anybody hearing the preacher? If you'll help me, I'll get done quicker tonight. We should put it all in, man. No reserve, no retreat, no regret, man. Give it all for Him. Give it all. Let me show you two or three things out of verse number 14, if we're going to go for the gold, that must be. Let me show you some things. Number one, going for the gold, watch this, is personal. Did you catch that? It's personal. What did He say in the very first word of verse number 14? I. You know what Paul was saying? I can't do nothing with everybody else, but I can for me. In this section of his letter to the Philippians, Paul told about his life. In the first part of the chapter, he told us and them about his pedigree. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews and a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the man, if you want to look at it that way. Yet he counted all that was nothing. He counted all of that loss that he made know Jesus Christ. He had the right attitude about life. It did not matter what he had accomplished. It did not matter who he was or what he had done. What mattered in his life was Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He said, you know what? I can't choose for nobody else, but as far as me and as far as I go, I will press towards the mark. Going for the goal is personal tonight. Going for the goal. There must come a time in our life where we accept personal responsibility for our spiritual walk with God. A lot of people want to say it this way. Well, the preacher's just not feeding me. Guess what? My mom and daddy don't feed me no more. There was a time that I grew up from being a baby. Everybody all right in the preaching? We're fixing to preach a little bit tonight, all right? There was a time that I grew up from my mom and daddy, and mom and daddy quit giving me a bottle and quit feeding me, and I had to learn to do it myself. Hear me and hear me well. If you're blaming your spiritual attitude and your spiritual apathy on a church or on a preacher, it's not their fault. You've got a Bible. You've got means to study tonight. And if you're going to go for the goal, you're going to have to understand it's a personal thing. They just don't feed me anymore. Grow up. Everybody all right tonight? Some of y'all's going, man, where's Brother Young at? He's at Freedom tonight. That's where he's at. We've got to do it ourselves. We've got to do it ourselves, man. My spiritual walk with God is up to me. It's up to me. I thought about this. I can't make you get saved. I can't make you serve God. I can't make you put your whole heart into teaching a Sunday school class or singing in the choir or knocking on doors or inviting people to March Madness. You must accept the personal responsibility and go for the gold yourself. You have to do that. You have to do that. I'll be there for you. I'll have answers, or let me back up and rephrase that. I'll help you find answers whenever you have questions. But I'm going to tell you something tonight, church. If you're going to go for the goal, hear me. Number one, it's personal. It's I. You know what? A coach can coach somebody all he wants to. Are you with me? He can coach somebody all he wants to. But Scotty, you can work with Landon all you want to on shooting. But you know what? When he steps up in those tournaments, and he done great yesterday, but you know what? He's got to do it himself. Are you hearing me tonight? He's got to do it himself. He's got to do it himself. You say, preacher, I want to grow more in the Lord. Grow. Say, preacher, I want to do more for God. Do. You say, preacher, I want to serve God more. Serve. It's a personal thing. Going for the gold. He said, Number two, watch this. It's not only personal, it's physical. He said, what's the next word? Press. He said, I press. The word means to pursue, to follow after, or to press forward. It's physical. This activity of following Jesus Christ will require exhortation on your part. It is something that you must do. You will expand and extend some energy in it. It will require some of your time and much of your personal effort. It's physical tonight. It's physical tonight. I say this tonight. A lot of people, I'll just back up and say it this way. There's churches all over this country without a pastor tonight. Let me tell you the reason why. Going for the gold's physical. It takes something out of you. It's to pursue. It's to follow after. It's to press forward. As you read the passage of Paul's exhortation to the Philippians, you can almost see the energy being exerted by the Apostle Paul. Do you think athletes who run marathons do so without any effort? Have you ever noticed them before? Especially when they get to those last few miles. A lot of times they can't even hardly move. Their knees will be buckling within them. Bro, Caleb, they'll be sucking them gel packs. They'll be eating mustard. I never understood that. I got the reading on it. And Brother Elijah, it helps with cramping. They'll be eating mustard. They're doing whatever they got to do. Why? Because they're trying to get to the finish line. They're trying to get the goal. Can I say something to you tonight? If you're going to serve Jesus, if you're going to go for the goal tonight, it will cost you something. It will cost you some time. It may cost you some family. It may cost you some things. But hear me, and hear me well, it will be worth it. At the end of the day, I pray. I press. In other words, he says, I'm giving everything. Pressing towards the mark will take something out of you. Serving Jesus and having the right testimony is not for the faint of heart. It's not for the faint of heart. I was thinking about Brother Brock whenever we was talking earlier today or before service, Brother Gudger and I, about those New England states. And Brother Tim, I know you've been there numerous times with me. And I was thinking about back when Brother Brock was there, and sometimes he was literally physically abused for witnessing in public. Physically abused. And I'm going to tell you something. Serving God's not for cowards. If you can't take somebody saying something out of the way to you, they called me a Jesus freak, so I quit. Well, you didn't have what you needed to start with to begin with. I'm just being honest with you. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on, man. I thought about this. As we go for the gold, we must remember that this activity is personal. It's between you and the Lord. Secondly, we must remember that this activity is physical. It requires some effort to do it. Let me tell you, I'm going to get in trouble, but that'll be all right. Let me tell you the reason a lot of people's just interested in coming in, sitting down on the chair and going back home, because they're not interested in going for the gold. They know. Everybody with me tonight, they know, well, if I have to teach a Sunday school class, the preacher's going to expect me to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You ought not have to teach a Sunday school class to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Amen. Press. Press. I don't feel like it. Press on. I don't feel like going. Press on. I don't feel like doing this, press on. I don't feel like reading my Bible, press on. I don't feel like praying, press on. Press on. Number one, it's personal. Number two, Number two, it's physical. Number three, watch this. It's precise. Going for the goal, it's precise. He said, I press towards just anything I hit. No. It's not a shotgun verse. Are you with me? It's not an 18 and a half inch sawed off shotgun with birdshot in it verse. If you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. It goes from about me to Brother Robert and then it expands everywhere. It's not even a shotgun with a good kicks turkey choke. Somebody say amen for kicks turkey chokes. That's not even what it is. You know what I think about when I think about it? Here's the first thing that I think about. I think about a 50 caliber with a good scope on it that'll reach out there and touch somebody. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm precise in what I'm doing. He said, this one thing, it's precise. The word mark means properly. It means the object set up at a distance at which one looks and aims, and hence the goal or post which was set up at the end of a race course and which was to be reached in order that the prize might be won. Albert Barnes said it this way. Here it means that which is at the end of the Christian race, the judgment seat of Christ. He said, as I look at this mark, I'm realizing that there is a judgment day coming. And when I realize there is a judgment day coming, it makes me forget about those things which are behind and realize that right now is the time to run for the goal. Right now is the time to serve God. Right now is the time to be a witness and be precise in doing that. Be precise in doing that. The mark is the goal at the end of the course. If we're going to go for the gold, we must aim our life at the goal at the end of the course. Let me ask you a personal question. What is the ultimate goal of your life? What is the ultimate goal of your life? When everything is over, when everything is said and done, what do you hope to have achieved in your life? What is your goal in life? If it's anything besides Christ, your life is aimless. Can I say that again? If it's anything but Christ, your life is aimless. You say, well, preacher, I want to be the best I can be on my job. I believe you ought to be the best you can be. I remember when Madeline, her first big girl job, if you want to look at it that way, she had just got out of CNA school and graduated from high school, and she went to work at Northern, and I told her this. I said, you be the best CNA on that floor. It don't matter what they ask you to do. You just do it. You put a smile on your face. You let them know that you're happy to be there. You be the very best you can be at it. When she started nursing school, I said, you be the best student that you can be. But more than anything, you live a life that's pleasing to Christ. There's nothing wrong with secular achievements, but that should not be the ultimate goal of our life. Hear me and hear me well. When they rolled me down at my funeral and set me in front of everybody, if they say that he was a preacher or he was this or he was that, that's one thing. But hear me and hear me well. I want them to say he was a Christian. He was a man that loved God. He was a man that saw counsel from God. I want to go for the gold and be precise in doing that. He said, this one thing I do. This one thing, what is he saying? I want to pursue Christ. I want to pursue Christ. I'm not just living an aimless life. Hear me tonight. The Christian life is not an aimless life. This is not just some fairy tale. I didn't pick up my Bible and it say once upon a time in a land far, far away. No, it said in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We're not just wasting our time tonight. We're not just sitting here tonight wasting our time. As we knock on doors, we're not just wasting time. As we live a clean Christian life, we're not just wasting time. This life is worth living tonight. Listen to what he said. He said, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, and I preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what Paul was saying? He's saying this, I'm going to be precise in it. I'm going for the goal. Think about this, as we go for the gold, we must remember that this activity is personal. It's between you and the Lord. Secondly, we must remember that this activity is physical. It will require some effort. Thirdly, we must remember that this activity is precise. There is a goal to be set. Number four tonight, can I say this? Look at the productive. What did he say? He said this. He said, I press towards the mark. I press towards the mark for the prize. It's productive tonight. Serving, can I say that again? It's productive. Serving Jesus is productive tonight. It really does pay to serve Jesus. When you get home tonight, look up the message by Brother Buster Seaton on, does it really pay to serve Jesus? Does it? Oh boy, I'm telling you, it'll help you tonight. Can I say something to you? It really does pay to serve Him. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered if it was worth it to serve the Lord? Sometimes serving God and attempting to live for Him seems like a waste of our time and effort. Sometimes it just seems like life would be a whole lot less complicated and a whole lot more simple if we just keep to ourselves and do our own thing. You know, let me tell you what happens. The devil crawls up. Somebody give me a witness. The devil crawls up on our back and says, it's not worth it. It may seem unrewarding to press towards the mark and to go for the gold. But you hear me and hear me well. I promise you, it will be worth it one day. Matter of fact, the songwriter said it this way. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. One look at His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Great will be our reward in heaven if we press towards the mark in Jesus Christ while passing through this world. You have never done nor ever will do anything for Christ that you won't receive a reward for. Think about this. Matthew said this. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. He said this in Matthew chapter number 10. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteousness or a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever, listen, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter number 16. For the Son of Man shall come into the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his work. Why keep pressing towards the mark? Why keep persevering and struggling for the cause which so very little appreciate today? Why do we keep doing what we are doing? I tell you the reason why. It's because we're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the reward for doing what God has called me to do? Listen to me, the reward may not come in this life, but I promise you there's coming a day when we'll stand in the presence of a holy God and we've been faithful to Him. And if we have been faithful to Him, He will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't do it for you, I do it for Him. I don't go for the gold for you, I do it for Him. You say, preacher, why do you press so much that everything that we do should be the very best, that our Sunday school classes should be decorated to the very best, and that when you teach, you should give it your very best, and that when you sing, you should give it your very best? I don't do it so when visitors walk in, they say, look at that church. I do it so when visitors walk in, they say, look at their God. Evidently, He means enough to them. He is precious. Amen. He is precious enough to them. He's blessed them enough that they want to give their best and go for the gold. I'm almost done. As we go for the gold, we must remember that this activity is personal. It's between you and the Lord. Secondly, we must remember that this activity is physical. It will require some effort. Thirdly, we must remember that this activity is precise. There is a goal to be set. Fourthly, we must remember that this activity is productive. It will be honored with reward from the Lord. Number five, look at the prestigious of it. The word prestigious, whenever you study it out, it means honor. Look what the Bible said. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's not drudgery to do the will of God. Can I say that again? It's not drudgery to do the will of God. Can I say that again? It's not drudgery to do the will of God. I didn't wake up this morning and go, oh no, I've got to go to church. That's not what I done. But about 5 o'clock this morning, or a little bit after 5, I woke up and I thought, boy, it's Sunday morning. It's Sunday. Matter of fact, I texted the preachers. I usually wait till about 8 o'clock. But this morning by 6:30, Brother Ramsey, I was just overflowing. And I had to text them a little bit early. And I said, boys, let it rip today. I'm praying for you. You want me to tell you the reason why? It's not drudgery to do this. It's not a burden to do this. I get to serve Amen. I get to serve Jesus. I get to preach. I get to go to church. I get to live for Him. I get to read my Bible. I get to pray. I get to walk with Him and talk with Him. It's an honor. It's a joy. It's a privilege to go for the goal, the prestigious of it. It's not drudgery to do the will of God. It's an honor. Not only is it an honor, know what Paul says. It's the high calling of God. It is the most important thing that you can give your life to. The fact that you get to do something for God ought to excite you to no end. God can use anyone He chooses to use. And guess what? If you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, He has chose to use you. If you're here tonight and you're lost and on the road to hell, He has chose you to be saved so He can use you. It's an honor. It's the high calling of God. Did I mention something in closing? Did I mention this? Can I just mention this? If we keep doing the same things in the same way, we'll keep getting the same results. Sunday school teacher, are you tired of your class being the way it is? Do something about it. Amen. I'm not pointing out nobody. Because I'm telling you, in the past month or two, our choir sounded the best it's ever sounded. I'm telling you, man, Brother Matt's put his heart, he always has, but it just seems like the past month or two. Man, I'm telling you, it's just like it's went to another level. It's like it's went to another level. Man, the breath of God on them when they're singing. And you know what? Something will never be no greater than the leader. But if the choir is not performing, and I understand we don't perform, but understand what I'm saying, in the manner Brother Matt wants to see it do, then you know who needs to change it? Brother Matt. Amen? Are you hearing me? If the musicians are not playing in the manner that they need to play, you know what Brother Matt needs to do? He needs to say, we're going to have a musician's workshop, and we're going to work on that. Hear me and hear me well. If we keep doing the same things that we're doing, we can't complain when the same things keep happening. But can I say something tonight? Evidently, the past few weeks, we've been doing something a little bit different. Are you with me? We've been doing something a little bit different. Just in 2 Sundays, over 30 first-time visitors. If we want to keep seeing that, we must keep doing what we're doing. Are you hearing the preacher tonight? Go for the goal, man. Go. It's an honor. It's an honor to do what we do. It's an honor to knock on somebody's door and say, can I invite you to Amazing Grace Baptist Church? It's not a sacrifice. A lot of times we say, well, I had to sacrifice an hour of my time for soul winning this week. It's not no sacrifice. Just to be real with you, we don't know what sacrifice is. Somebody say amen and help the preacher. We really don't. We do what we want to do. Somebody say amen. Going for the goal. Going for the goal. Do you care to come start playing softly? I read this. Let me leave it with you in closing. Press toward the mark. The road may be dreary. The way may be bleak. The goal may seem impossible that God calls us to see. The trials, they may vary, the indignation less than a spark, but that should never keep us from pressing toward the mark. press toward the mark when you are weary, it is then that Christ will share his strength. Press towards the mark when your days grow dreary, when forever seems their length. Press toward the mark when you're exacerbated and things seem to go your way. Press towards the mark when you're discouraged and life seems all uphill. Press towards the mark when you feel like running and the course you're running is a thrill. Press towards the mark when you are grunting because the course seems uphill. Press towards the mark when folks are cheering and they're urging you to go on. Press towards the mark when all you're hearing is the sharpness of the critic's groan. Press towards the mark, for Christ is waiting the reward to reward you with your pay. Press towards the mark and hear Christ citing, "Well done, child, this is your day. You will not regret one day of service that to the Lord you give. So keep pressing on until the twilight, and for the Master your life live." And I tell you something tonight we need to do. We just need to press on, man. We just need to press on. Say, "Preacher, I'm tired." Press on. Say, "Preacher, I'm give out." Press on. Say, "Preacher, I don't understand why this is going this way and this is going that way. And I don't understand why this is happening this and this is happening that." Stop. Time out. Get your eyes off that. This one thing. You know, if we would, I'll never forget, we was walking down the streets of Salem. I'll never forget walking down, I believe Brother Tim was with me when Brother Brock said this. We was walking down the streets of Salem. There was witches everywhere. One of the most wicked places you'll ever go. There's witches everywhere. And Brother Brock just stopped in the middle of the street. And he looked around and he started crying. And here's what he said. He said, "Behind every face, there's a soul. Behind every face, there's a soul." And can I tell you something? If you'll view every face to have a soul behind it, listen to me, if you don't hear nothing else I say tonight, you'll change the way you treat people. Let me tell you the reason you snap off sometimes, because you're not going for the gold. You're living for you. Let me tell you the reason you miss church sometimes, because you're living for you. You're not going for the goal, man. I don't know about you. I want to go for the goal. I'm not interested in being mediocre. I'm just not interested in it. I want to give everything going for the goal. Remember the very first word of that verse, I. I want to say this to you, and we're going home. I cannot make one of you serve God. And it was, Brother Ramsey, is one of the greatest days in my pastoring career, if you want to look at it that way, that I realized that. One of the greatest days. Because, Brother Robert, I would preach, and I'd go home, and I'd be mad as the devil. And I'd tell, "Listen, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. Look, I can't make you serve God. I can't make you be faithful. I can't make you..." I've said this for a while, and I'm going to keep saying it because I'm telling you, we need it bad. I can't make you be the youth leader at our church. I can't. Olivia ended up not feeling good this morning. We had a trip scheduled tomorrow to take our young people to Macedonia's World, their offices, and work in the print shop. And me and Leslie was the only two adults that was going. Olivia got sick, not feeling good, so Miss Leslie can't travel. And I can promise you, John's not getting in a van with 10 teenage girls and 2 teenage boys and taking off to Georgia. I ain't doing it. You say, "Do you not trust you?" I don't trust the devil. And number two, if one of them got sick, who's going to help them? John ain't. Are you with me? Leslie gets sick, John hollers, "You okay? Girls need to bring you anything?" You say, "I'm as serious as I can be. I just don't." Are you with me? Let me tell you something. We need a youth leader. We need somebody that could have went on with that. Boy, it's getting real quiet. I can't make nobody do that. I can pray about it. I can lay out there at that altar with my wife and beg God to send us one. Are you with me? But there comes a time when, church, we have to realize we're not living for ourselves anymore. And we step up and say, you know what? It's time to go for the goal. It's time to lay my selfish desires to the side. Somebody give me a witness and go for the goal for Christ. Going for, I want to give Him everything. I want to give Him everything. Daddy was in Ohio last week. And I was talking to him. And here's what he said. He says this all the time. I fuss at him all the time. Matter of fact, I told Miss Stephanie this evening, he come busting through the offices back there. He said, how do you get in there? He's my daddy. He's got the code. If he wants to come see his son, he can come see him. He come busting through there. We got any more of them new convert books. I went to ask Miss Stephanie. I hollered and I said, hey, Daddy, I told you if you would just go see Miss Leslie. She knows where they're at. She knows his... Miss Stephanie does finances. That's what she don't know nothing about no books. And he walked off, went rambling around through everything. I thought it'd have been so simple if you'd have just went and seen Miss Leslie and said, hey, have we got it? Yes. If you'll go right here at this closet and on this shelf, on this part of it, right there. He went rambling around through everything, and I walked in Miss Stephanie's office laughing. And I said, that black billy goat in my lot listens to me better than he does. So he's hard-headed. I tried to tell him, Miss Lisa, to slow down. And here's what he said in Ohio last week. He said, when I'm old, I'll not be able to do this. You know, it'd be real easy. He could fill in churches around here, be in his bed every night, him and Mama. But you know what he was saying? Here's what he's saying, Brother Josh. I'm going for the gold. I'm giving it all. I'm going for the gold. I can't make you, but I can say tomorrow morning, I think I'll pull out a mulligan and say everything in the past, I'm just going to forget it. And with the help of God, if I've ever reached deep down inside with everything that I've got and went for the gold, I'm going to do it.